Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, guys? This is Freight Broker Live. I am Steve Oatley, and I'm your favorite freight broker. So today, we're going to talk about truck order not used and layovers and all that stuff. And again, I live in Florida, so it's raining. It's a downpour, like always, or it's going to be. So there's lightning, and my dog's going to bark, and my kids and wife and one of my son's friends are all hiding in the bedrooms to try to make it quiet for the video. If you guys could do me a favor, because for some reason it's not allowing me to share this the way I want to, if you could you go ahead and share this to as many groups as you can? And I'm going to keep trying, and you know, I'll start talking as I'm doing it, but I don't know why it's not allowing me to share this how I want to. So. But like I said, I mentioned yesterday I'm going to talk about truck order not used and layovers, and someone called me and asked, or I sent me their number and said they had some questions. So I called like I typically will, and she was telling me about, and she may be watching, or I'm sure she's going to at some point, but she was telling me about a situation where she had four loads that were supposed to go into Mexico. They were dropping by Laredo, I guess, or someplace in Texas. And they picked up on Friday, and they were supposed to deliver into Laredo on Monday, and then the trailers were going to go across the border, not the drivers, and then bring them back. Apparently, three of those trucks made it. The fourth one, he had to do a 34-hour reset, so he was four days late. Even with 34, it still doesn't really make sense. So he didn't even arrive till Friday, but they couldn't, or till Thursday or Friday, I don't know, but they couldn't send the other trucks in because all the paperwork was with the last truck. So she was curious, or she was asking me like what I think she should do in terms of truck order not used, because I guess the drivers are each asking for $500, which I completely agree with. They sat for that many days. But it doesn't, you know, she was having a hard time because they were holding pretty firm at the $500. And although it's not letting me share the group how I normally was. So it's very annoying to me. So if you guys, anyone could please share this video, because it's not allowing me to do it. And I kind of want to put this in as many different groups as I can and get as much input. So please just try to share this group. And share this with as many people as you can, because for some reason it's making me do it one by one. But at any rate, so the drivers were all asking for $500. The carrier was, and including the last one, he was still looking for detention or for a layover. You know, she kept calling it detention, but it's not detention, it's a layover. You would get your ass handed to you if you had to pay 3 days worth of detention. So I asked specifics like what was on the rate con and things like that. And she said, you know, nothing really. I guess they're a new broker, so they didn't really have everything set up the way it should have. You know, my advice was pay the drivers and take the deduction from the last driver. You know, they were all separate companies. It seemed like, you know, the majority of them were owner ops. They lost 4 days driving, so they lost, they didn't make anything, you know. And, you know, I said, if you can get more money from your customer, explain what was going on. Otherwise, shortchange the last guy, because he's the one that, you know, didn't let her know that there was a 34-hour reset in between the loads, which could definitely screw up someone's business. I'm actually going to restart my phone and see if that's the issue and why I can't share this thing. I hope I didn't get like a share ban. I don't think I did. But yeah, like I said, just keep trying to share this, guys. If you're new to watching this, there's only five of you on here. what I like to do is, you know, that number that's down below the, what number is that? The 914-803-4008. That is a live call-in line. And I've never tried it, but hopefully it works. So you guys feel free to call in and we can talk about anything. You know, I guess today's topic was going to be mainly accessorials and things like that. But I don't know, you know, the conversation, the way I run everything, it kind of goes based on the conversation and how the conversation goes. So with that said, you know, we mentioned the truck order not used and things like that and layovers, and it's hard because, you know, paying a driver $250 for it, which is a standard industry standard layover fee, isn't enough. You know, that truck is going to lose a lot of money, and it's, and owner operators have they're extremely justified to be ticked off at you, but a lot of times the customers aren't willing to pay anything else, and you got to find that like happy medium or medium between to try to appease the customer, but still, you know, as a broker, if it comes down to something like that and the driver's going to get screwed, you know, pay some of it out of your margin, especially if the customer is not going to pay anything else. And always in your rate confirmations, make sure you have something that says, hey, this, you know, if you're late for a delivery, the penalties can be assessed. And that way you're covered. But that's the main thing. So there's a couple of people here. Why don't you guys go ahead and say something, and while I keep trying to share this darn video that's not sharing, and it's super annoying, and I apologize to everybody because I'm trying to send it out, and it's just not letting me do it the right way. You know, but like I said, you know, layover is hairy because you want to make sure that you're you know, paying enough to the driver to make sure that they stay happy, and also make sure that you know, you're gonna keep the business. You know what I mean? You can't go back to your customer and say, hey, listen, the driver was 3 days late. You know, and that's wrong, because I've actually gone back to customers and said, hey, the driver's late. I understand he's late. Do you have any more money in this? Because I'm gonna take a loss on it and try to minimize my loss. And you'll be surprised. Sometimes customers do have some flex. They don't always, but sometimes they do have a little bit of flex, and they'll inflate the rate a little bit to try to compensate it. Because I mean, this is trucking. Shit happens, and it happens a lot. You just gotta figure out. Hold on, I can't see any chat or anything because I'm trying to share this out. I kind of figured out I could do it on my computer better than I can on the phone. I don't know, the software, I like it, but for some reason it doesn't always work the way I want it to. So, which is really annoying. And I may have shared in the same group a couple of times, I don't even know, I can't tell. But yeah, and then I talked very quickly yesterday about accessorials and things like that. In terms of, you know, I had a driver that was that basically said he assisted on an offload and he wanted an extra $100 for it, or he assisted on a load. And I'll give a little bit of background, because that guy, I did tell him about the group, so he may end up jumping in and, you know, and liking this. He could be watching it now for all I know. I don't even know if this is working. Can you guys, can someone say something in chat? Say you can hear me, say something, so I know that this is actually working, please. But, let me get this. I'm sorry, guys. This is shitty because it's not working the way it should, and it's annoying to me. At any rate, so that's it. I'm not going to share it to any more groups. You guys could share to groups because I just want to talk and be focused on what I'm doing. Truck order not used, detention, layovers. You know, I think we covered truck order not used. Hey, Denise. All right, so I know that's working. You guys can hear me. So truck order not used is another one where, you know, you pay, for anyone that doesn't know, the standard truck order not used, and this is, you know, a broker's perspective. It doesn't mean it's right, but the standard truck order not used amount is standard – I don't know what someone said, but standard truck order not used is what I pay is $250 for a full truckload, $150 for a partial. Because I was a carrier, I tend to not dispatch out the driver until I make sure that the load's good. You know what I mean? Well, to be honest, I don't even book loads unless I know they're good now. But we had a couple of occurrences last week where there was confusion on the shipper end, and I ended up sending someone in, and then they couldn't figure it out. I had to pay a truckload to not use. One, the customer paid, and then one, they called me an hour before, but the driver was already en route. So we had to pay. Customer said he wasn't going to pay. So I had to eat that detention. But luckily, the detention, it was a partial. So I paid $150. It sucks. If you got a guy that's deadheading 200 miles, and then he has a load that falls out, and he loses a day or half a day driving, that's a big, big issue. But I know a lot of drivers say truck order not used, we get $500, we get this, we get this, we get this, I don't know, I think I may have been spammed or something. I'm seeing chats like this. I don't know what this is. It's some earring money? I don't know what you mean. But so it's truck order not used and detention, those are things that you, as a broker, you should definitely know, and you should know your rates. And typically what I do is I put it on, like if I have detention at a shipper, if I think that there's going to be detention, it's going to be on the rate con. We pay $40 an hour, no matter what. That's what I pay. Customer only pays $35, so I take a $5 hit. But it's because I know the industry standard is $40 an hour. Now, some guys say, oh, my truck sits for $100 an hour. Yeah, that may be your cost, but it's not necessarily what the broker can pay. Someone in here, I got in a thing about the, when someone commented on one of my previous videos about broker sales and stuff, and they're saying, put the brokers out of business and this and that, and all brokers make 30%. And, I'm not going to indulge them too much, but brokers don't make 30%. Maybe once in a while, or if it's on a short haul, and there's another guy that's in one of my groups that, he's posting, granted, they're partials, but he's posting a partial going 175 miles for $310. He's not going to get that covered, Just the time that it takes to load and offload, it's just not enough money. And I actually sent him a PM today and said the same thing. You got to raise your rates. At least know how to properly quote your customer. Or pay more and stop trying to make so much damn money on each load. Like I always say to everyone, I'm a volume broker. So the amounts that I make and the amounts that I there's not a lot of margin in it. I try to pay the driver as much as I can, so that way the driver will come back and do another load. Even though the loads may not necessarily pay that great, the driver knows that he's going to end up getting a decent broker to work for. And it doesn't always work that way, but most of the time. I'm just going to read some of these. This guy said, see, I'm a dispatcher. We just finished a load. All right. I don't know what that means. And Carlton says, yes, I hear you. Sounds like you need another broker. Send some information to. I don't know if you guys are just tuning in and not listening to anything I say. I am a broker. And I've been a broker now for 15 years on and off. What's up, Andrew? What I was trying to say is from the perspective, the first example I was given was a woman that had a, is this the actual carrier here? I wonder if this is the carrier. He said, and the load was supposedly delivering Thursday, and we get to the shipper, and they tell us, driver, it's for Friday. We already had a load ready to come back. Missed it, and the broker says this customer, I can't read the whole thing, just $200. And to be honest, that happens, and there's nothing you can do. Some people say, oh, just don't deliver the freight or find a warehouse to store it in or do all that. That's a dangerous game. I've in my time doing this, I've had a couple of people do it. One held the freight in Miami, and they, you know, the corporate office just took care of it. I think they ended up, you know, calling insurance and threatening to do a claim and all that stuff because he held the freight because he missed an appointment. He went there and they gave him an appointment for a week. So, you know, we just dealt with it, you know, and he was from Miami. He had a warehouse. It was an LTL load. So he ended up offloading a truck, which we were fine with, the cross docking and all that stuff. And then the appointment came and he never delivered. And then he said he wanted a redelivery fee and he wanted all this. And to be honest, I just went to corporate. That's the benefit of being an agent. I went to corporate and said, you guys just please deal with this. And I don't know what they did. I know he's blacklisted. I don't work with him anymore. So I got a feeling that's what it, you know, it is. But when you go to a delivery, and that happened, you know, this, you guys can't see the whole comment. I really wish, that's the one bad part about this software, is it can't show the whole comment. But he said he went to an appointment, or he thought he had a delivering appointment on Thursday. He gets there, they say, no, the appointment's on Friday. And that he had a load, he missed the load coming back and all that good stuff. And then, you know, he was only paid $200 for the layover. Again, that's like the standard number. Some people try to get away with $100. Some brokers try to get away with $200 or $250. I pay $250 unless I can get more out of the customer, and I always will try, especially if it's not a carrier fault or my fault. So if a customer tells me, because I always get pickup and delivery dates, if the customer tells me it delivers on Thursday, and then we get there and they're like, no, this got an appointment for 8:00 Friday night. Then I'm going to go back to the customer and be like, listen, you got to pay to have this truck sit there, you know, and I'm not going to say $250 because I would probably say he lost Thursday plus he's losing Friday. So at a minimum, we need $500, but I'd probably shoot for more because I was a carrier. You know, I know that side of the business and I want to make sure that everyone is treated fairly. And again, the better job I do, I made a little comment on this, the better job I do, the more people are going to want to work with me, you know, so I always try to do a really good job. And be as fair as I can with the carriers because that allows me to do well, you know. And I think maybe this chat probably stopped like it always does. So, yeah, it did. So let me open up this on my phone so I can read the chat. I actually PM'd them yesterday and said I'm really upset that this – software doesn't do – hold on for the sound – that the software, the chat doesn't fix, and it ticks me off. But Andrew, I don't know what you're answering. You gave a load board side, but yeah, I guess you're repping it the DAT on board. But get set up with me, dispatch the carrier. Carlton says I've been brokering all my life, 27 years before the computer. I was moving loads. Cool. I mean, good. Yeah. I've always brokered as with computers because that's, you know, I'm younger, clearly. I'm 35 years old. So Carlton says, I don't play that holding freight in New York City. Yeah. I mean, it happens. Unfortunately, it happens a lot. People hold freight all the time, you know. Hell, even when I had my truck, so, you know, I had to do it when I wasn't getting paid, you know, and I kept having, and luckily, you know, the invoice kept being in the mail, but he kept sending me shit to ship. So he was shipping it to my warehouse, and then I was doing the delivery. So the last time I finally just said, screw it, you got to pay me before I make these deliveries, and then I stopped working with him. But it's not really, you know, I would have made the deliveries anyway because I'm not going to have an insurance claim or hold freight hostage. And to be honest, I'm not an insurance guy, nor am I a lawyer, so I don't know the actual, you know, laws behind holding freight hostage and all that stuff. But, you know, and I don't recommend you do it, but it is one way to try to get your money. Paul Johnson says, what up? If a broker orders a truck and the rate comes are signed and they cancel an hour before the appointment, more than likely he booked a cheaper guy because load was still on the boards. Does your truck actually have to be on site for them to pay a truck order not used? Cough, cough, did not specify, cough, cough. Yeah. And I heard you talking about this yesterday, actually. No, you know, and I have never, even when I had all my trucks and we did a lot of shit for TQL, I've never gotten money from them I can't even say I've gotten detention pay, but definitely not truck order not used. I don't know about, you know, if they post it on the boards versus, you know, and I don't, that's not my thing, but I've had loads canceled, and they do it a lot, you know, and a lot of brokers do. And I can honestly say I won't pull a load from someone else and give it to a cheaper carrier. And our system, to be honest, when I build a load, I post it out. As soon as I put a carrier in that load, or as soon as I'm in the load, actually, it pulls it off of the system. So it's not, I would have to manually enter a duplicate load in order to have that same load posted again. So maybe, you know, that's just one thing, but yeah, if you have an appointment and what I always did as a carrier anyway is, you know, you said yesterday you called ahead to make sure, or in your video, you said you called to make sure that the load was still available. So you didn't go there and then you found out it wasn't and blah, blah, blah. And you sent emails and all that. That's above what I did. You know, I would book a load and call in and get the carrier driver instructions from TQL and then head that way. And then if it didn't pick up, I would just make a note to myself not to work with that agent because they work in pods over there. So, and you remember the extensions and just don't work with that guy. You know, they have a lot of control, surprisingly, and nothing I've ever done has ever, you know, I've never had an issue big enough that I had to take it up to the supervisors or anything like that. I had a claim once with them where something was damaged and they told the factoring company that they were just going to hold the payment or they were going to hold every payment. And yet they were calling me for loads and doing all this. And you know what I did? I ended up doing the loads for them. And just because I knew the claim would be resolved eventually. And I just kept doing the loads. And then eventually I got a really good check from them. But again, I had 20 straight trucks and stuff like that. If you guys can hear that, that was a huge lightning bolt that was right by my house. Masi said, I spoke to the appointment manager there and they told me the customer already knew. Yeah, I mean, and the broker that, I mean, you can't do anything else. You got $200 for layover and you got to suck it up and make the decision whether or not you want to work with that broker again. You know, if it was me, I wouldn't, but Boris said, I could provide something you would like. I don't know what that means. Carlton says, you won't do that if I sign my name on it. You hear me? I'm an insurance man. My lawyer can send an email. Paul Johnson, TQL only pays Tonu once they send the dispatch sheet. That's true. And you should always get your dispatch sheet the second, like essentially when I book a load with them, I sign it and then I immediately call them for dispatch. I don't care if the load picks up in 3 days. I always do that. I'll tell them I have a driver assigned or whatever, because then you always have the dispatch sheet. And plus it's load planning and stuff. You want to make sure, because TQL is notorious for posting a load from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and then you actually call them and the load's in Texas. You know, they don't post the actual area and that's just what they do. Carlton, I don't know what you're saying, dude. You're talking, I guess, I don't know what you're saying. Matthew said, I like TQL. They pay truck order not use after they send dispatch sheet or dispatch over the phone. We had a signed Raycon the day before. Yeah, it's just like I said, you have to have the signed Raycon, otherwise you're not going to be able to, and not just the signed Raycon, because that doesn't really matter. It's essentially you have to have the carrier driver instructions for that particular broker, the carrier driver instructions for it to be an actual load. And then, you know, you go from there. You know, like I said, I've never, you know, if a load cancels, it cancels. The way I was running my business was so tight anyway that if I had a load cancel, where my truck was, I knew I was getting another load very quickly, you know, and I was running partials and straight trucks, so it wasn't that big of a deal to have a load cancel. You know, that's what that is. You know, I wish there was a more concrete way, but I just, you know, someone actually posted, and I know I just completely stopped what I was saying and started in a new direction. Someone said the other day that they wish that as a broker, they could charge it like a truck order not show up or something like that. And I completely agree, because there's been several times where you have a truck that's supposed to be there for pickup and they just don't show up because they found a better load. And that happens all the time. It's the same thing as, you know, you guys say, oh, you get mad at brokers because they end up, you know, one, you're just mad because they make so much money and blah, 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 which is crap. Secondly, you're mad because, you know, they'll find a cheaper carrier, which some of them do. I'm not one of those guys, so I can't really speak to it too much. But do you know how many carriers cancel loads and work with different carriers all the time? carriers cancel loads left and right. They'll say, oh, my truck had engine problems. You know, my truck had engine problems. You know, I had a guy that said his truck had engine problems. And then I happened to, like a month later, be doing my paperwork, and I saw the same day that he said he had engine problems, he got stopped by DOT and inspected. You know, it was granted, it was a month later, but I always do my due diligence, and he kind of screwed me on that load. You know, so it's kind of a two-way street. Would never, ever will we get away with charging a carrier truck order not used, ever, as a broker to a carrier. And that's it sucks. Because it does. Carriers cancel. But carriers probably cancel more than brokers carry on and cancel. Brokers cancel on carriers. That happens quite a bit, you know, but again, this is from my perspective. You know, when I had my trucks, I wouldn't cancel. Sometimes I'd roll over a pickup, you know, because we're doing 8 or 9 pickups per truck per day. So I'd roll over a pickup to the next day, but it's partial shit. So it's not, you know, and I said it to a customer the other day because he gave, you know, he had a forklift and he wanted the forklift moved from Chantilly, Virginia up into Brooklyn. He's like, I'm firm at $600. I can't pay any more than $600. I can't do it. So I'm like, all right, I'll see if I can find someone. Found a guy for $500. He missed. He wasn't going to be able to make it. Found another guy. Barely even posted it. Usually I post rates to just get rid of the negotiation side because that way they know how much I'm in it. If they say, oh, can you do like $25 or $50 more, then, you know, I'll be able to use that, but I'm not able to, you know, fluctuate too much. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Carlton and Massey. Carlton, I guess you're still talking about the load and all that stuff. And Carlton says, see, that's why I have live GPS on the loads. What I'm saying is keep zero. I don't know what. It's not 100 pimps run in the blood yet here. I don't know what you're talking about. Maybe you guys are having a separate conversation. Massey says, if a TQL agent promises you a certain amount of money and pay you less than what they said over the phone, you can force them to pay that amount. Again, I have no idea what you guys are talking about. I think it's you guys are having your own conversation in the chat. So, hey, well, the phone lines are open, like I said, 914-803-4008. Why doesn't someone call in? You know, Paul, if you're watching, why don't you call in? And we'll talk some stuff because it's good to hear a carrier perspective. Those are like the truck order not used. A lot of people disagree with truck order not used because you're not even covering your expenses charging or getting paid $250 for a truck order not used. And a lot of brokers won't even pay that. A lot of them are stuck at $150. I see that. Paul, I see they're having a separate conversation. It's just hard to follow when I'm trying to do a show here and using that for the questions, but whatever. You know, there's a lot of resentment between a carrier and a broker, and I guess that's understandable. It's kind of stupid, you know, to be honest, you know, because if carriers spent more time figuring out how a broker is doing their job, they essentially could all be really excellent brokers. I think that's one of the reasons why I'm such a good broker, besides being an incredible person, is that I'm, you know, I started as a driver. So I understand, you know, lanes, I understand rates, I understand transit time, I understand what it's like to be in the truck. It makes me a good, you know, good at carrier sales, you know, and then the bringing on customers and stuff, it's great. You know, typically when I go out and meet customers, I shave and I get all spiff and span and all that stuff to go out and meet them. I don't sit and gym clothes front, you know, and deal with that. You know, if I do a web conference or something, I dress up like you said yesterday, Paul, all your drivers wearing collared shirts. That's what I'll do. If I do a webinar with a customer, I'm all polished, and you have to, because that's how you represent yourself. You know, like you said, the guys that are wearing the tank tops and the bellies hanging out and all that stuff. Why do you think you're having a hard time getting customers? You know, there's a guy that commented on the other thing and he said, I've been a carrier for 30 years and, you know, brokers are the ones who are stealing all the business. And That's not true. And if you're still using, if you've been a carrier for 30 years or an owner op, you know, if you've been an owner op for 30 years and you don't have direct clients, it's because you're not trying. You're not trying to go out and get direct clients. You know, look at this guy, Paul. He's been in business for a year and he's got his own direct shippers. It's because he knows what he's doing. You go out and you make those connections. I think every single truck that I used to dispatch when I was a dispatcher, every single truck was able to go out and get their own business, direct clients. Some of the direct clients I would find for them and just relinquish and just back off from being a dispatcher because I wasn't going to deal with all that mess. Wow, that was a big lightning strike. There's I don't know if you guys can hear that, but that is loud. Yeah, it is. Hold on. Let me see here. Hey, are you there, buddy?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. What's going on?
Yeah, not much. Just sitting in Rhode Island waiting for a broker to get me a load out of here.
Yeah. So you already have a load planned or no?
Yeah, I got a one for Monday. We've got a direct. I was just hearing you talking about direct customer. We have a direct broker customer with JB Hunt up here that ships. I won't give too much away, but they ship out of. They don't want everybody jumping on it, but they ship out of Rhode Island here, and we they either go to Greenville, South Carolina, or wherever it is, L.A. and so we can come up here to the East Coast and actually get back out of it. It sucks trying to get out of the East Coast.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I ran my trucks, I was based out of the Northeast. I was, you know, out of Jersey. So that was my neck of the woods, you know, but I've always said, you know, a lot of people say direct clients and brokers are bad and this and that. And I think, you know, one of the best things is just like you said, one of your direct clients is JB Hunt. You get dedicated work from him. You know, there's one driver I used to dispatch for. He's out of Delaware. Jeremy, if you're watching this, he's got direct clients from other brokers who are giving him dedicated runs. He runs up to Massachusetts every single week for a broker, you know, and it's a dedicated lane. He knows he does it, and he builds the rest of the week around that one load. That's something that could easily be done, and everybody could do it, you know, and it doesn't – that's the thing is you don't always have to go direct to the shipper. Everyone thinks you're going to get more money, but, again, it's a service thing. If you provide a good service, you're going to be able to get that business. So you've had your company for a year, right, Paul?
Not even really a year. We've been running – up and running about 7 months.
Yeah. And how many trucks do you have now?
Three trucks.
So, and what do you as a hotshot driver, what do you think or hotshot driver and company owner, what do you think the hardest part of your day-to-day is at this point?
For this, and unfortunately, like, I hate the term hotshot because I think hotshot's been misconstrued from a long time ago where people were true hotshots where they're just zipping from one point to the other, you know, driving 48 hours without even going to sleep. And, you know, that's a true hotshot. The reason I got into this was I'm calling it more, I don't know, light duty or light duty efficient hauling, because according to, and I'm a numbers guy. I said that in the video. I'm sure you watched it. I'd make all of my decisions based on numbers, and the numbers just made more sense with this. But the hardest part, I would say the hardest part was just simply getting loads for these trucks. And you make a point on this, it's very hard to get loads on these trucks at FTL rates. Now, I've been doing it. We've been doing pretty well at it, but it's very,
hold on,
very
guys. Hold on, Paul. Can someone type in chat if you can hear them? Because someone else just said they can't even hear you. So if someone could type in that you can hear what Paul's saying, because otherwise, Paul, I'll send you a link and you could just come on the show if you want. No one's saying anything, so I guess you can keep talking until.
Well, there's always a delay between the live stream and the chat, so.
Yeah, it's only been one person, so I don't know. Actually, you know how I could tell? Hold on.
They just said can't hear.
Oh, well, that's awesome. tell you what I'm going to do. I can't get a break. Like I said, I couldn't share this to the different groups, and just today has been one of those. So, and it's not you, because I can hear you, so it's got to be my system a little bit. So bear with me 1 second, because I'm just going to send you a link, and then you can click on the link and join this.
Will it
You're
be?
Decent,
will it
right?
be?
Yeah.
Video. Okay. So it'll be video. Okay. No, I'm sitting in here without
you need
clothes
to...
on. So.
I know. Remember, you said you don't go in trucks, so or you don't get hotels or anything like that. So.
Nope. I sit in my pickup.
So I just sent it to you on Messenger. I'm just gonna talk a little bit and then just go ahead and follow all the prompts and you could join that way, and I'll just cancel this phone thing because I don't know why this isn't working. So I'll talk to you in a bit.
All right.
Well, sorry guys, I thought that was working. It's hard to tell if people don't like comment right away, but I thank those who did. So he's going to join. He'll come on and join this. He'll join in a second, and then I'll put him up. He's a hotshot driver. He makes a couple of videos on some of these hotshot groups. He's a hotshot driver and company owner. And I like his videos, and I think it may be good just to, you know, talk about some of the, you know, I'm going to keep it on the accessorial type conversation because that's what I want to cover today. But, you know, I used to run hot shots too, you know, and when I first started driving or when I first started with the straight trucks and all that stuff, to me, a hot shot was like a Panther expedited van. That's what I considered it. I didn't think of it as, you know, what it is now and known as now. Granted, I mean, when I started in trucking, you didn't even see them like you do now. They're all over the road. But it's, you know, I ended up taking over a company for a little bit, or trying to, you know, take over a company that was pretty well screwed over in the first place. Tiny Trucker. It's true, but they still make money. But I ended up taking over a small hotshot company, and then took over another company, brought all that equipment over. And I tried. I had those trucks running. I got in a truck myself, and I hired a driver for Florida, and then I had a couple of trucks running. It was just hard maintaining and keeping drivers happy and making sure the drivers were good and paying people on time because the loads were late and all the same crap. And I, with me not driving and being in control that way, like, that's why it's, you know, when Paul joins, it's really hard to run a company while you're driving the truck, in my opinion, especially if you're trying to do it, you know, big and making sure all your trucks are good and all that stuff. It's, to me, it's hard, you know, and what I would rather do is sit and look at it and, you know, see all the trucks and GPS and micromanage the trucks that way. As much as some people don't like micromanager, I'm a micromanager through and through. You know, I do it to myself. I got up this morning, it's Saturday. You know, I was up at 5:30, which I don't know why I was dragging ass because I stayed up late watching live PD last night. But I got up at 5:30, got on here, answered a couple of quotes, booked some loads for tomorrow, and, you know, or for Monday rather, and did all my tracking. For some reason, one of my customers went, well, you know, I've been going back and forth with him. Now, this is something funny. You know, we don't have a lot of viewers right now, and that's fine. I had a customer I moved two loads for. So, like, I think I mentioned it yesterday. He's the guy that said he was going to buy me dinner and all that stuff. So today he gave me another load. There was a truck coming from Nebraska. I still have the truck. I asked him how much money he wanted to move it for, cause rather than me just giving him a price, because I'm going to quote, it's a dually truck. It's heavy. It's got a utility body. It's in one of those old 80s army trucks. So the thing's pretty damn heavy, probably 12,000 pounds. My plan, put it on a hot shot, run it as a dedicated load from Nebraska to Michigan, all good. So I just sent him a question, what, like I always do, to get a feeler for what the rate is. And he doesn't give me a rate back, but I, you know, and maybe I should read the email, but maybe I shouldn't. But he said something which I've never experienced before. His, you know, his response when I said, you have a target rate in mind, he said, I don't. I'm happy to have our vendors make money. I just want to ensure they are fair to us. If they are, it ensures our loyalty and repeat sales. I used another broker. He moved 40 odd loads from us before we figured out he was gouging us. We work hard to put him out of business, and now he drives a truck for a living. Like me, like for one, that's like by far, and I hope, you know, this guy isn't watching the video because I'll probably still move the load to make a couple of bucks and then not work with him anymore. That is by far the most conceited thing I've ever heard in my life. You know, I could tell you, I moved one of the trucks for him. It was going 600 miles. I moved it for like $800. So that was super duper cheap. We moved it on a step deck. The guy ran it as a dedicated load, but that's all the money I had in it. And then, let me see this here. Well, once this picture shows on, because Paul's going to join here in a minute. But that is by far, you know, he moved 40-odd loads before he figured out he's gouging. So I guess the broker's making money and maybe telling the carrier or telling the customer he's only paying this much but really wasn't and all this. But for him to say we worked hard to put him out of business and now he drives a truck for a living, coming from someone that drove a truck for a living, there's days every single day I'd rather be in the truck than sit and staring at this damn computer every single day. I don't know, Paul, if you're here. I'm going to push this one over and see if you're here yet. Let's see. Nope. Well, let's wait. That's crazy. What are your any thoughts on that? You know, a customer that says, I worked hard to put him out of business, and now he drives a truck for a living. Like driving a truck is a bad thing. Like I said, half the days that go by, I wish I was still driving a truck. I got kids and stuff, so I can't, you know. But, you know, I thought that was funny. And he sent that to me at 1:48 this afternoon. I don't know. I don't know what to... Try to reconnect. So Paul is trying to join, but it's not working properly. So I'm just going to tell him to try to reconnect again. I can honestly say I've never had a customer that's said anything like that to me ever. You know, I've had customers say, oh, you're charging too much or whatever, you know, because I'm up front. I'll tell the carrier what I'm getting paid, and I'll tell the customer what I'm paying the carrier because I'm a volume guy. I want the business. That's what I'm doing. I'm not greedy. I'm not making a shit ton of money all the time. You know, occasionally I'll make decent money on a load, but it doesn't happen that much. You know, a lot of people think, oh, brokers are always making 40% and this and that, which is it's just not true. Some of them may be, and if you guys know who they are, there's your leads. And that's another thing I said to a guy. He's like, oh, brokers are making this much. I verified it with the customer. You know, the broker's making $1,200 and he's paying me $4. If you verified it with the customer, put the customer on blast. If the customer, you're saying you can't work with him because he signed a Raycon or this or that or this or that. I mean, back solicitation is real, but I've never actually heard of anyone going after someone. You know, agents, it's like, for example, if I took my business right now and I took it someplace else, that would be, you know, working for the competition and all that stuff. All broker agreements have a back solicitation agreement in it, meaning you can't go after the customer you're working for. There's different ways to go about it. I did a lot of direct work for customers, even after brokers would I don't know if he's going to be able to join. I still don't see a picture, Paul, so this may not be the day for it, buddy. So I don't know if you can hear me, but this may not be the day. It's not working. You can try again if you want, or I'll PM you my other phone, and then we'll see if the sound can pick it up, my direct line. But yeah, that's. I mean, actually, it's late. We'll do another video. I'll figure out the technical shit later, and we'll do another video a different time. Because the software apparently just doesn't want to work all the time. But yeah, you know, customers are finicky, dude. You know, I haven't had a customer that said we worked hard to put him out of business and now he drives a truck. You know, that's offensive for two reasons. One, he worked hard to put a guy out of business because he was making money, and secondly, saying that he drives a truck for a living, like that's a bad thing. And which is really bad because I already told him what I used to do, that I owned trucks and I ran trucks and I drove and, you know, I spent nights and days and weeks away from my family. So to say it like it's a bad thing, especially when I think he said he drove a truck too. I'm so tempted just to send him a message and say, listen, keep your truck. I'm not going to ship this stuff. I don't really like that attitude. And there's a good chance I may. It just depends what kind of mood I'm in. But that's the biggest thing. A lot of people have been messaging me about sales and how can they, you know, go after new business and all that. And I talk a lot about it. You have to go out and do it. You have to go out and do sales. You know, as an owner operator, as a broker, you have to go out and knock on doors and do sales. You know, you could. One guy said, "Oh, he has a hard time putting it in emails." My emails are bland as shit. You know, when I say it, like, because, you know, if I'm going after a big customer, I kind of put it together a little bit better. I kind of soft sell my company while heavily trying to sell my experience and things like that. That tends to work a little bit more. I don't get, you know, nothing I ever do is over two paragraphs for a sales email. Because they're not going to read it. I mean, do you guys read every single paragraph of unsolicited emails that come in through your box? You don't. I guarantee you don't. And I don't. So why am I going to send an email? Normally, I try to get something that catches them and say, hey, I could save. Paul says he even cleaned his truck and showered. But that was funny. But yeah, when I send emails to customers for prospective customers, they're short and sweet. They're short and sweet emails always. You know, it's hey, you have, you know, I'm a broker with so and so. I'd love to do, you know, to get some of your business. Please let me know what I could do to get some business, and then I'll follow up with a phone call. You know, it happened the other day where I called someone and I saw it, and I very rarely call on my lead source, which I'm not saying. But I very rarely will call them when I find a number. I prefer just to send an email so I don't have to do a lot of talking on the phone. And something about it just made me call her. And I called her, and I ended up getting two loads from her that I should make $500 profit, you know, which is right around the 10% range. And it works. But those are one-off shippers. If you're going after the bigger clients or you know, you have to just figure out. You have to figure out what you're comfortable with. If you're not comfortable going and knocking on doors, send emails. If you're not comfortable, you know, if you can't spell worth a shit, talk to them on the phone. Sell yourself. Sell them as you're an independent guy, or you're an independent broker, or you're just and be upfront. Don't go if you're a one truck guy. Don't go and say you have the capacity to handle 15 fucking loads or 15 different lanes, because you don't. You can only handle one lane because you only have one truck. You could handle a different lane once a week going somewhere else. But unless you have a broker authority and all that stuff, then you're not going to be able to handle all that shit. So why try to sell yourself that way? You know, the best way to do it, any of you guys that have been in business for over a year and you did one-off shipments with brokers that picked up by your house, my guess is you're and this is, people are going to get pissed at me. I know brokers are going to get mad. But the guys that have done one-off shipments and haven't worked for someone for a year, but you have a rate con that has customer information right there, you know what I'm saying. You know, if you can't do it, like if you book a load for a broker A and then 2 weeks later you go back to the customer for that broker A and say, hey, listen, I pulled that load for you 2 weeks ago, chances are he's going to go back to that guy. When I drove a truck, I would always just kind of hint and say, listen, yeah, you know, I got to go through the broker, but let me know whatever you got, you know, and we'll put it through the broker. And a lot of times the customer would call me, I'd call the broker and say, hey, listen, this guy just called me. He says he's got this lane. I didn't give him a rate. You want to call him and get all the specifics, and then I'll do it. Even if I did give the guy a rate or found out what he wanted to pay, what it ended up doing is it showed that I was trustworthy to the broker. So I ended up getting that load, and oftentimes I'd get loads before they're posted and all that. And it also showed the customer that I had some sense of loyalty. So when that relationship with the broker ended up falling apart because of other carriers and all that, guess who called me? And then I was like, fuck it, I'll take it, because it wasn't working with the broker anyway. You know, and that happens. And I've also had brokers that say, oh, a customer's not worth dealing. They don't pay shit. You know, and I always try, like what you were doing yesterday on the phone to the guy about that load out west, the 2,900 mile run. You were trying to say, wow, this just got blurry. But you were trying to say, you know, you were right at 160 or 170. I don't remember the specifics, but you're trying to be at like $185 or some crap like that. And, you know, he's saying, I can't come up, you know, and that conversation back and forth. And you're like, I know you're not lowballing me. And I'm like, he's lowballing you, you know, and that's what ends up happening. That guy, especially the big brokers, they have margins they can't go under, you know, and unless they, you know, it's the same way for me. If I book 10 loads, I know I could take a loss on one or two of them. You know, and I'll do it all day long. If I book, you know, five or six loads and I'm making 50, 60, 70 bucks on it, if I have to lose $50 on the load to cover it, I'm going to do that because it's going to keep the customer happy with me. You know, but you guys can't do that. You can't take a load that is paying less than what your cost to run per mile is, because then you're literally losing money. You can't make it and say, you know, and you can't go to a customer, have a load that pays $3. A lot of people do it with backhauls, you know, so they'll say, well, I made $3 going out, so I can run back up for $1 a mile, because then I have $2 all mile. I didn't believe in that shit when I dispatched. I don't believe in that now and I didn't believe it when I was a carrier either. You know, I tried to do as much as I could coming back always. You know, I don't believe in back hauls and head hauls and all that. It's a lane rate, and it pays whatever it pays. You know, you guys should get really – anyone that doesn't have a DAT subscription or a truck stop subscription, send me a message and you know, send it right to my page, and I'll give you a free – if you're a broker and you need DAT, I'll give you free 15-day trial. If you're an owner operator and you want DAT or the Trucker's Edge or whatever it's called, you know, I'll give you a 30-day free trial. You're not going to find them on the sites. You can find them with some other groups and stuff like that, but you're not going to find them on the sites. You know, and it doesn't cost you anything. And yeah, I make referrals after like 90 days of you signing up. I get like $3 for a month for you being signed up. So, you know, don't, I'm up front, you know, I'm going to be putting out some stupid t-shirts and shit later to try, because I really like making these videos and I want to try to come up with a solution where I can spend more time doing it, buy a better mic and, you know, a better camera that doesn't have to, you know, point down where people make fun, say I have no neck, but that's why I moved in. I keep sitting back too. I'm all conscious about it now. Thanks a lot, Larry, or whatever your name was. Go ahead, Paul. I'll see you when you try to join, or, you know, the link's the same every time. But yeah, so there's all different things. Like sales tactics, selling yourself as a carrier is – let me just try to see if this does anything. It doesn't. Your webcam, Paul, if you can hear me, though, it's not picking up your camera for whatever reason. It's just not picking it up. It's not on my end. We'll have to try it a different time, so, because it's just not working, and it's starting to be a distraction. I keep getting sidetracked. But at any rate, sales are not hard, but you have to figure out – a lot of brokers were saying, or people that are brokers and want to be brokers. I had one guy say, hey, after I made my video about not taking freight broker classes, he messaged me and said, hey, I'm about to pay $2,000 for a broker class. Should I do it? I don't care what class it is. No, you don't pay $2,000. He's like, well, what do I do now? I said, go get hired by a broker and learn that way. Go to and if you can't get hired by a guy, go to the interview for a brokerage job. Try do whatever you got to do to get it and say, listen, I'll work for free because that's what you're – or I'll work commission only because that's what you're going to do as an agent anyway. You're going to work commission only. So what's the difference of you going into a business and saying, hey, listen, I want to show that I'm a good guy and that I want to learn the business, you know, instead of you paying me $10 an hour to sit here, you know, I'll become a broker, you know, I'll become an agent for you and make money. Yeah, Paul said he tried. We tried, Paul. We'll figure it out later. I've only done it once with the combined podcast, and we had them loaded up before we went live, and it worked that time. But that's the freight broker classes and sales. I mean, and you know, they're two and two because a lot of people say you can't learn sales, and I almost believe that. I think it is hard to be able to go and sell yourself or sell your services. And me, I try to sell myself and then try to get the business flowing through that and, you know, the personality. Ironically, I can make videos all day and talk all day. And when I'm on the phone, I'll talk all day. When I'm in person, I'm not as boisterous, you know, and people, you know, one of the guys from my gym was saying something about that today because I was like, I got to leave. I make these videos on YouTube. And he's like, you don't even talk in here. Well, and the gym is a different aspect. I'm you know, hardcore. Nobody talks to me because I look like I'm going to kill people because I'm all amped up on pre-workout and lifting weights and all that stuff. But, you know, when I walk into a place, I try to try to know myself. You know, like I have someone that works for me, Jess. She wants to go out and do sales, and I haven't quite, you know, let her do it because she doesn't know the product. You can't sell. Like, so say you guys – say you're a hotshotter, Paul, you can't go, well, maybe you could, but you can't go and sell dry van lanes or rates and try to get that business because you don't know that business. Do you know hotshots now? Probably not enough. You haven't been doing it that long, but you're getting a good feel for it. And like you said, you know, you're a numbers guy, so you can figure out lane rates and all that crap. You know, so, you know, the best thing and the thing that has helped me be a successful salesperson is I know the rates, and I keep saying that over and over because it's very important for you to be able to walk into a place and then say, well, I've been paying this much, and you to look at that lane and say, I could beat that rate. And you're only going to get that from experience and education. And the education you can get by either watching these videos or, seriously, any of you guys that need a job or that are anyone that's looking to become a freight agent, go work for free somewhere and just say, hey, I'll work commission only. Sell yourself in the interview so that way you know if you actually have a sales capability, and then go do it. There's some people that have sold me on their businesses when they're just, you know, talking in chat back and forth, you know, because it seems like a lot of people are asking me all sorts of questions after these groups, after the videos end, and they're not asking me questions during them, which is kind of silly. But I get it. But I end up answering the same question 15 different times. It'd be a lot easier. I just got a thing that said that's in a different country. A tanker exploded in Tanzania or whatever and killed 62 people. A tanker truck crashed and killed 62 people. But yeah, that's tragic. That sucks. At any rate, you know, the biggest thing is sales. Focus on sales. Be able to go know what you're selling. Sell yourself. And if you can't sell yourself, then you're not going to be able to get more business. You know, a lot of people say, or the guys that want to go out and buy trucks but have no money, don't do it. The people that want to be freight brokers but have no money, don't do it. You know, that's just my advice. What time is it? It's almost 4. You know, those are the big things. If you're a broker and you're an active broker, figure out a detention rate that you want to pay and then set that's fair. It should never be less than 250, or not detention, but a layover should never be less than 250, and figure it out. And then, put it right in your contract, you know, and that's the easiest thing. Put it on your rate con. If you're late for appointments, have that on your rate con so you don't have any surprises should a carrier just decide they're not going to deliver for 3 days because they have to do a reset or in the parking lot of the place they picked up. That's something that's known. So that carrier deliberately did not tell the broker he had to do a reset, did a reset for 34 hours, screwing 3 other drivers. The best part about that is the driver, when he got to Texas, according to the woman broker that I spoke to, he refused to get out of the truck because all the drivers were pissed at him and he was afraid to be assaulted. Which, if I waited 4 days for one guy because I couldn't get, what do you do? You can't even get the freight off your trailer. There's no one's going to take it. He had all the paperwork, which was a problem with the shipper, you know? So it's funny, but don't be that guy. Don't be that cheap broker that doesn't do anything. Just don't be that guy. So at any rate, I'm going to end this video and then delete it promptly. I'll figure out the technical stuff, Paul, and we'll get that squared away for maybe sometime this week where we can have something a little prearranged. And we'll go from there. I'm taking tomorrow off. See you guys on Monday.